Perhaps you'll say, God is with me, I can't be deceived. Perhaps you'll say one word, your workbook lesson, or perhaps you won't say anything at all. The Course says, yet each temptation to accept place and reliance upon yourself alone, magic, as true, must be abandoned through your recognition that placing reliance upon yourself alone isn't fearful. Placing reliance on yourself alone isn't sinful. Placing reliance on yourself alone, not that it's dangerous, but placing reliance on yourself alone without checking in with your source, the Creator, God, love, whatever word you want to use, is meaningless. So anything other than joining with God is just meaningless. It's not sinful. It's not dangerous. It's not really fearful. It just doesn't work. It's just meaningless. So the Course says, rooted in sacrifice and separation, two aspects of one error and no more, you merely choose to give up all that you never had. And for this sacrifice is heaven, which is happiness, restored to your awareness. Now, isn't this an exchange you would want? The world would gladly make it if the world knew it could be made. It is God's teachers who must teach that this exchange for fear for love can be made. And so it's our function to make sure that we've learned it. And no risk is possible throughout today except to what? Put your trust in relying on yourself alone without checking in with God, with truth, with spirit. He says, for it is only this that leads to pain. There is no will but God's, and God's will for us is perfect happiness. We know that this is so, and we've learned that everything but this is magic. And all belief in magic is maintained by just one simple-minded illusion that relying upon yourself alone works. So all through our training, every day and every hour and even every minute and every second, much must we as God's teachers, which are the teachers of love, we must learn to recognize the forms of placing reliance upon ourselves alone and perceive their meaninglessness. Fear is withdrawn from them, and so they go. And thus the gate of heaven, which is the gate of happiness, is reopened, and its light can shine again on an untroubled man. So that entire section could be reduced to, God is with me, I can't be deceived. And every time I try to do something without tuning into God or my inner guidance, I'm not doing something bad, I'm just doing something that's meaningless. Because nothing really happens until we connect with Source. That's when things happen. It's when we really connect with our source. And the Course is about getting rid of all the blocks to being able to connect with the source. And the source is within us. The source is not outside us, external to us, some person way out there somewhere. We are connected to that which created us. The love that created us is what we are. And we are all extensions of that love. And we are all those creative also. Okay, so that's... So basically that section about how we should spend our day, I would do a quick review on it. It's two ways. Once you have become advanced, which means you've learned how to listen to your guidance, he says that at that point there isn't any curriculum because you're listening to guidance, so you're going to do what needs to be done from moment to moment based on your guidance. So therefore you're not doing a lot of planning because there's no need to plan when you're being directed by Spirit. And when you learn how to listen to Spirit, Spirit will tell you exactly what to do, exactly where to go, exactly what to say. So he says, when we're advanced, you don't get up worried about what you're going to do today, what you're going to do tomorrow, how you're going to take care of yourself, and all that good stuff. Then he says, if you don't have that kind of consciousness yet, then you get up in the morning and you think about God and you focus on the truth and you do some kind of a spiritual discipline every day and you do it until it becomes difficult. And then when it becomes difficult, you try it 2 more minutes after it becomes difficult. And if the difficulty doesn't drop away, that's when you know it's time for you to stop. And if the difficulty does drop away, then you continue to do your meditation, your prayer, and your study. And if you can't do it in the morning, he says, then you do it whenever you can, or you do it in the evening, or you do it before you go to bed, but you take a moment and you think about God, you think about peace, and you think about love. Those are the two things. So either you got a discipline that you're following because you haven't developed your trust yet, or you're in touch with your inner guide and you're just following instructions about what to do all day. And when you lose your faith and you become afraid and you have doubt, he says, then you're going to have the temptation to say, to heck with all this stuff. Come up with your own little personal plan and say you're going to do it on your own by yourself. And he says, whenever you do that, it's not bad, it's not sinful, it's not destructive, it just doesn't accomplish anything. So people will stop doing something quicker because it doesn't work than they will stop doing something because it's good or bad. Obviously, the fact that something makes us feel guilty doesn't stop us from doing it. So feeling bad doesn't do anything. We all know that because we all do stuff that we say we're not going to do anymore, that we feel guilty about, and usually it's the thing we want to do the most. You know, so we know that just because you felt bad don't mean you're not going to do it anymore. But if you really get that it's not going to get you what you want, or you get that it's not going to work, you'll stop. You see what I mean? You know, it's like, if it's not going to help me achieve my goal, I'll stop. But if I make it, you know, if I got the goal to lose 20 pounds and then I got, you know, about 300 donuts I'm getting ready to eat, it doesn't mean I'm bad. It just means that's not going to help me accomplish my goal. So it would be better to look at it like the 300 donuts not going to help me accomplish my goal than look at, oh, here I go again. I said I wasn't going to eat donuts and now I got powder all over my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like, you looking in the mirror, there's white stuff all over you, know. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm not going to eat donuts, and I walk in on you going, you know. You know, it's a tendency to feel a little guilty behind that. So anyway, that's basically what that's saying. How many of you all are doing one where you're not planning at all because you're totally in touch with your inner guide and so you just follow instructions all day long? Okay. All right. We're in the right group, right? How many of you are now trying to implement some kind of a spiritual discipline that you apply every day? Okay, so that's it. Those are only two choices. How many of you, when you get scared, you start to try to figure it all out about how to do it? Yeah, okay, all right, we all got this. So we all the same. We all the same. We shouldn't be feeling guilty about it because the book says you shouldn't. You just need to realize that you just should get to the point that you go, well, I know I'm doing this, and the main thing I need to remember is God's will for me is perfect happiness, that my Creator wants me to have. Look, you got to get rid of that whole idea of God is fear, as God is punishing. That's the old thought system. You know, you got to take a stand. You got to say, you know, I am love. I was created by love. I am innocent. My Creator is innocent and sees me as innocent. I make errors. Errors are for correction. I'm open to correction, but you got to let go of the guilt sin thing for the new thought system. I mean, if you like the guilt sin thing, by all means, continue. Because all you do is requesting punishment for yourself, and it will show up. And then you get a chance to go through a bunch of crap and then feel like you went through so much suffering, it's okay for you to have something nice happen to you now. That's the world's plan. I suffer so much that at some point I go, well, I deserve to be happy because look at what I just went through. And that's the old thought system. Punish myself until I think I feel okay. This next section I want to cover is back on page 19 in the Manual for Teachers. And it's a very important section because what is your function as a teacher or a demonstrator of truth in your everyday life with people around you who don't believe what you believe? Okay, is that a worthwhile topic?
Yeah.
Like, how do you do this with someone who has? Because our basic premise is that we're responsible for what we see, love or fear, that we're choosing the feelings that we experience, love or fear, that we decide upon the goal that we're going to achieve, which is love or fear, and that everything that seems to happen to us, whether it's love or fear, we ask for it by the way we look at it. And then we perceive it as we have asked. We receive it as we have asked, okay? So we're basically saying thought is created, and what we are drawing to us and what we've seen in our life is somehow related to our consciousness, and we're not victims of everything, okay? That's the new thought. It's based on love and responsibility and power. The old thought system is based on one phrase, I am a victim of the world I see. It's everybody else's fault. And I'm a victim of circumstance, and everything that's happened to me is being controlled by something beyond my ability to control. Okay, so you got two thought systems. Obviously, the second one is based on fear, and the first one is based on love. Okay, so when you're around people who see themselves as victims, they're blaming everybody, they don't believe that they are creative, and they don't know that they're creating things, and they don't know that they're unlimited, they think they're just a human being who's trying to make it until they die, which is a very common belief. What do you do? What do you do with Uncle Joe? You know, what do you do with your mom and your sister and your boyfriend that thinks you're nuts for even looking at this? Okay, here you go. The Course calls them patience. Okay, what do you do with the patience? Okay, he says, if the patient, and I'm going to say the person, if the person must change their mind in order to be healed, what do you do? You're the teacher of God. What do you do? He says, can you change the person's or the patient's mind for them? Certainly not. So rule number one, you can't change their mind. Number two, for those already willing to change their minds, you have no function except to rejoice with them. So I believe I'm sitting in a room with a bunch of people who are willing to change their mind. Is this true? Okay, so what is our job with each other? Well, it's a party like a big dog with each other, right? To rejoice, to be happy. I'm happy for you. You decide to go for your peace. You decide to take some responsibility for your experience. I rejoice at that. See, that's what I do with the people that want to do it. We just rejoice together. Okay. Then it says, you, however, have a more specific function for those who don't understand what healing is. Most people don't understand that healing is caused by the undoing of fear, and that healing is also caused by A Course in Miracles, by recognizing your innocence. Because in recognizing your innocence, it heals your mind, and once your mind is healed, then it says your mind heals your body. So it's a process of, I go from believing I'm guilty and sinful to understanding that I'm innocent and lovable. When I really do that, that transforms my mind, and when my mind is transformed, my body or physical circumstances transform. That's the way it works. Okay? So these are people who don't understand that. The Course says, these are people who don't understand what healing is. He says, these patients, what? Don't realize that they've chosen sickness. They don't realize that they've chosen what they're going through. And remember what I said about resistance. If it comes up, that's okay. Just feel it. And see, on the contrary, these people believe that the sickness or the circumstance did what? Chose them. And guess what? They're not open-minded about it. You say, it's your problem. You know, of course I know what the problem is. It's you. Yeah, they're pretty clear. You know, most people, when they're upset, they're pretty clear. Yes, I know what the problem is. It's you. Oh, I know what the problem is. It's you. Right? We're not having no problem with what the problem is. It's you. Right? So the Course said, they're not open-minded on that. I'm sick because this virus was going around, and I'm not open-minded about that. It couldn't have anything to do with my consciousness. It could have nothing to do with my mind. Okay? Then he says, what that means is the body tells the person what to do and they obey. That people who are sick or unhappy have no idea how insane this concept is, because if we even suspected it was insane to believe that you're the victim of your own life, your own body, he said, they would be healed, yet they suspect nothing, because to them the separation is quite real. So the Course is saying that all sickness comes from separation, all unhappiness comes from separation, everything that causes us pain comes from losing sight of our essential oneness. First you lose sight of oneness, and then that's when all the problems start. So ultimately, all problems come from separation. They may take the form of what seems to be a cold, a virus, an upset, a bad relationship, whatever we go through in the world, but that's just the effect of the idea of separation and guilt. And so most people want to deal at the effect level without ever getting to the causative level. But we work at the causative level. Okay, Any questions or comments about that before I go to the next part?
The body tells them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say a little more about that?
Yeah, the body telling you what to do is your believing that you are the victim of your body. It's like what my body is doing, that has nothing to do with my consciousness, my thought. You know, it's not that my thought is creative anymore. It's the circumstance. It's what's creating the situation.
The situation of the body was first.
Right, and then I'm reacting to something that I had nothing to do with. And the Course defines the body as not just your physical body, but your perception. Because just like you think you live within your body, you could expand it further, and you would realize you think you live within your perception. It looks like I'm seeing you all, and I'm inside of what I'm seeing. So your body is actually your perception. And so it's like my perception is telling me what I feel, instead of me realizing I'm the one that's assigning the meaning to my perception. Stuff like, you make me mad. Okay, that's a perfect example of the body telling you what to do, or the outer circumstance telling you what to do, rather than you going, I'm making myself mad about you. Let me tell you what I'm making myself mad about what you just did. You know, it's like even if I'm going to tell you what I did, I'm going to preface it with, I'm making myself feel really frustrated with you right now, and I'm going to tell you what it is I'm making myself feel frustrated about. So even if you did it that way, you're still always empowering yourself. I'm making myself really mad about how you're late every day. See, that way you're still bringing home, I'm the one that's making my experience. And that's the main thought you want to get. Because after a while, it changes from, I'm making myself mad, to, oh, I have the ability to allow myself to be happy then. If I'm making myself mad, I could make myself joyful. That's the beauty of seeing it at first, even if you're saying it about something that you don't like. Because you'll eventually get to the point you start realizing that you got a choice, and you start making the other choice. So in the beginning it's hard, but it gets easier.
So is saying it I all the time instead of you?
Yeah, I feel
I.
If you could say I in the sense of I'm the one that's giving this meaning, then you can't lose. In the end, you don't have to be in denial about your feelings. I'm gonna keep on saying that. I'm not asking you to be in denial about your feelings. You can feel anything you want to feel. You just want to begin to understand that feeling is coming from a choice you're making and an interpretation that you're making. So that's the key. Okay, but then again, he's saying, well, what do we do when we're around people who don't believe that? The first thing you do is don't try to convince them. That is different from that. If you want to have a peaceful life.
Right.
I mean, if you don't want to have a peaceful life, go try to fix all your friends. If you want to, and your relatives. If you want to have a peaceful life, this is what you do. This is a tip from 27 years of studying this material, all right? And the course is very transformative. You know, when I first started studying this, I was a southern white woman. Change does happen. So don't worry about it. Yeah, you get it? All right.
Oh, man.
But, you know, the main thing to recognize is that you're innocent, and your job is to accept the truth for yourself. You're innocent, and your job is to accept the truth for yourself. Not for nobody else. Not to try to get anybody else to get it. If they want to get it, that's great. But your job is to accept it for yourself. That's the easy path. I'm giving you a tip. That's the easy path. Because it doesn't involve anybody else in the sense of their agreement, their witnessing, their understanding, their going along with it. And most of all, if you don't say nothing, you don't have to listen to their opinion. That's the beautiful part. So if I never bring it up, I don't ever have to listen to what you think about it. And I just love that. You ought to try it. Because when you tell people what you think, they feel compelled to tell you what they think. So if you really are rooted in what you believe and it's working for you, and you want to invest in it more, then you don't want to try to explain it or talk about it to somebody who thinks differently from you, because they're just going to try to change your mind. So you can kind of tell how much you want to believe something by who you talk to about it. You know, if you say you want to believe this, and then you go talk to somebody that you know is going to think you're crazy, that's a reflection of your own belief that you're crazy for even going in this direction. That's why you went to them to get the feedback. They were reflecting your own doubt. So you know who to talk to when you want support. All of us do. We know who to call when we want to do something. We know who's going to say, we know which friends are going to say, okay, I trust you, go for it. We know which friends are going to say, that's crazy. You know, so you kind of know what you want to support by who you talk to about it. So just kind of keep that in mind. Yeah, Lord.
I'm just finding in certain groups, I'm just so not on the same page anymore. And it's sort of like, do I give up these friends? What do I do? You know, it's kind of a hard thing to know what to do.
I would say choose for peace.
Thank you.
Yeah, because if you choose for peace, if you go for choosing for peace, the answer becomes obvious. Mm-hmm. What you should do. And because you can't really give it, when you begin to go to another level of consciousness, you can't give specific advice in terms of behavior. because the form has to suit the situation, the circumstance. But what you start to do is you always are consistent in terms of what your goal is in every situation. So if I walk into a situation and I know I want peace, I let my desire for peace determine how I behave in that situation, whether I go, whether I stay, whether I keep the friend, whether I let go of the friend, whatever. It'll be based on what's going to give me the most peace, what's going to produce most peace. Because it's not a condemnation of them. It's not like saying, oh, you know, I find you don't have to drop anybody. Now, that's my experience, is that they drop you. It's like you don't have to. They'll just disappear, and one day you'll go, well, where are they at? They used to be around, because people on a different vibration, different energetic wavelength. When you shift, then they just drop away. If they need drama, and you're about peace, if you're about taking responsibility, and they're about blame, you used to be just like them. Now you're not. So they gravitate toward the people who support their thought system. So you really don't, you know, and your irritation about it is you're being irritated at yourself for that part of you that still doesn't do it the way you think you want to do it right now. See, you know what I mean? There's still a part of you that still projects, still blames, still thinks it's a victim in some area. And so those people are getting you in touch with you, that you still have that same belief system somewhat. If you truly were beyond the belief system, you truly would be unaffected by them. You would bypass whatever they were saying, and you would focus on your love for them. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's how I do it. You know, I try to go to the heart, because when you go to the heart, it bypasses the mind and the ego, and you still have a great time with the person that you love, even if they don't think the same way you do. But if you focus it all on, we got to think just alike, sometimes you leave the heart out, and then it just becomes an intellectual debate and treatise and who's right and who's wrong. But if you love them, then if you're coming from the heart, you'll really find the words don't really matter. Somehow or another, y'all end up connecting, you know. So it's just about the heart, really. That's what my classes are about. They're about the heart. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. I want to get through these three paragraphs if possible. It's Course in Miracles, so I know I'm stretching it, but I'm going to try. Because this really is about what do you do when you're around people who have forgotten. And he says, now, you're going to come to those people to represent another choice that they've forgotten. So the reason why you're there, Laurel, is you're there to represent another choice that they've forgotten. If that's when we're around anybody that's sick or ill or unhappy. He says, the simple presence of a teacher of God is a reminder. The mere fact that you're there is a reminder of the truth, because you're there believing and thinking the truth. So you are a reminder. Your thoughts, notice he said thoughts, your thoughts ask for the right to question what this person has accepted as true. As God's messengers, which is a love messenger, you are the symbol of salvation. You are the symbol of healing. You are the symbol of truth. Okay? So you're asking the patient for forgiveness for God's Son in His own name. In other words, let you read the Course, and let's say you read the Son's Sin and just go poof. Okay? This is what you do. You go to the next one. And if that sentence goes poof, guess what you do? You go to the next one. And sooner or later, you're going to go to one that's going to go, oh. And all that sentence has done is restated what the other three sentences stated just in another way so you could get it. So the time that you spend on the Course analyzing any sentence is a waste of time, because it just says the same thing over and over and over again in about 10,000 different ways. So if you don't get it one way, don't stay stuck on it. Just keep going. For instance, when I read the sentence that said they asked for the patient for forgiveness for God's Son in His own name, how many of y'all got that? All right. Okay, here's the next sentence. We stand for the alternative. In other words, you stand for the alternative. You stand for another choice. And the Course says, it's not, I love this. He says, with the truth in your mind, which is God's word, you come in what? Benediction. Not to heal the sick, not to heal them of their upset, but what? To remind them of the remedy that love has already given them. So it's not going to be your hands that heal. It's not going to be your voice that speaks the truth or the word of God. You're going to merely give what has been given you. So this is what you do. very gently you call to that person to turn away from death by in your mind saying, behold, you child of God, what life can offer you. Would you choose sickness in place of this? So that would be like me being next to you while you're complaining. And in my mind, I'm going, you know, I want you to choose what love could give you. Would you choose what peace could give you? Would you choose what life could give you? So I'm not saying anything. And all I'm doing is my mind is going, choose once again. Choose for peace once again. Choose for love once again. Choose for your happiness once again, child of God. I know you can choose for your happiness. So you can do it in your own word. But what you're doing is you're being there going, I know they think they're pitiful and they think they're lacking and they can never be happy and nothing is ever enough and they can't be successful. But I'm going to be here and in my mind, I'm going to think just the opposite of everything they're thinking about themselves. And I'm going to remember that they're innocent. I'm going to remember that they're the holy child of God. I'm going to remember that they're not a victim. I'm going to remember that they can make a choice at any moment for their joy and peace. I'm going to be the alternative, but I'm going to think the alternative. I'm not going to say anything. Now, you can't tell me that's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, that is easier than trying to change their whole belief system.
Oh, evangelists would have a hard time with this shit.
Absolutely. Because when you're trying to convince yourself, it's nothing more important to you than to try to convince everybody else. When you don't believe, you're always trying to get somebody else to believe. So people who are trying the hardest to convert somebody is somebody who doesn't believe what they're talking about themselves. Because if they really believed it for themselves, they know the same power that woke them up would be the same power that awake the other person up, and that person is going to be awakened whether you do it or not. The mere fact that you feel like it's you that's got to wake them up means that something's wrong with you. You must think you are so special that God only made a voice for you. You know, give me a break. You know, you're so special that you're the only one that got that can get the guidance, and then you got to turn around and teach it to everybody else and get your dry cleaning out. That's going to be tough. You know, that's a lot to do in a day. You know what I'm saying? You know, so lighten up. You know, just lighten up. Okay. So what am I? Okay. So with that paragraph right there, any thoughts about that paragraph? Yeah.
I hope this is
about
this paragraph.
Okay.
You said they'll drop away.
Yeah.
What about the ones who stay? I mean, are they for real? I mean, can you like go, oh, well, then, you know.
Well, they might be your relatives.
Well, okay. Some people, the Course in Miracles says there might be people that be in your life for a lifetime and y'all don't never like each other. Okay? And y'all know that's true. So that's not theoretical.
Okay.
But he said, look, what they're doing is they're giving you unlimited opportunities to choose for peace. Because what they're doing is giving you one opportunity after another opportunity to see if you're going to choose for peace for yourself. You know, because ultimately your interpretation of it is what's going to determine your peace. So they're giving you another opportunity to see it differently. And some people, they'll do it. That's why they call, like, relatives and stuff. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, I have two children. I suppose I have a relationship in some form or another with them until forever, really. Mm-hmm. But at the level of the body, until one of us chooses to leave, right? So it's a lifelong relationship. We might get along sometime, we might not. But what they're always doing is giving me an opportunity to choose for peace again, to practice the truth again. Okay, and here's another one. People don't like this one either, but sometimes when I tell people this, because it's so empowering, it's perfectly okay to choose out of a relationship. There's nothing that's saying you got to stay in a relationship with, but most of the people we're in relationships with aren't relatives. They aren't people like children. You know, they're usually chosen relationships. And so it's okay to choose out of a relationship for peace, you know, and because all relationships are going to heal. I mean, let's face it, we're all one. Then at some point we're going to all see each other correctly. So it's like a thing of you can do it now, you can do it later. And it's okay to do it later. As a matter of fact, if you let yourself be happy now, it'll be easier for you to let go of the grievance. A happy person tends to overlook stuff. A person is not happy, everything bugs them. You ever notice that? You know, if you're having a really good day, stuff that would bother you just doesn't bother you. So the Course is telling us that your personal joy and personal fulfillment is the best thing you could do for the people that you love. Because then they got somebody in front of them that can extend some joy to them. Most people do it backwards. They think that they can make somebody else happy first, and then once they got everything handled, then they can feel good. That is the slow way. Because most people don't know what they want, so they wouldn't even know if you was doing something that made them happy, no way. If I don't know what I want, how can I tell when you're doing something to make me happy? So if you try to make somebody happy that don't know what they want themselves, then you're just like a puppet jumping around on the string. They're just going from day to day, okay, try this. Okay, I'm not happy about that, but I want you to do this. I don't like the way you did that either. Why don't you do this over here? You know what I'm saying? That, yeah, I know we do it, don't we? I don't know. Try that. So if you with somebody that don't know what they want, you gonna be dancing. You're gonna be doing some serious dancing. You're gonna be worn out. So first thing you have to ask them is, what do you want? If they say, I don't know, then you know you're getting ready to puppet dance.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as you find out, let me know. Have your people get in touch with my people. And we'll work it out. But I can't be trying to please somebody. Even though I can't ultimately do it, I certainly can't do it with somebody who don't even know what they want themselves. And then the Course answers that question for us by saying, I'll tell you what you want. You want the peace of God. Mm-hmm. You want a peace that's beyond understanding, that can't be shaken by anything. You want a fulfillment that's beyond anything you could interrupt, destroy, or alter. That's what you really want, is peace. You might think it's a car, you might think it's a house, you might think it's a special relationship, you might think it's a wage, you might think it's money. But why do you want all those things? Because you think they're going to give you peace. So what you really want is peace. So whenever you're at a loss for what you want, just go there. Like you said, I don't know. What do you want in your relationship? Peace. What do you want in your financial situation? Peace. What do you want in your job? Peace. But see, your ego will say, okay, well, the way you get peace is if you could just get your boss and not come by your desk 3 times a day and tell you what you're doing wrong, then you have. See, because your ego is going to always come up with a solution that involves changing somebody else's behavior or something outside of you which you have no control over, because it keeps you in conflict, which is a form of self-punishment, which is what guilty people do to themselves. They always keep themselves miserable. They can't be happy more than 5 minutes at a time. When you're guilty, you might be able to pull it off a day, but next day you're back miserable again. Because it's really guilt. Somehow you don't feel worthy of joy. Yeah, Michael.
The Course, what does it mean by benediction?
What's the context?
You read it, that we come in benediction.
Yeah, we come, okay, where is that? Let me show you how it is.
Paragraph 2, sentence 7.
Paragraph 2, sentence 7? Okay. It says we come in benediction means that we came to remind them of the remedy that God has already given them. So coming in benediction means I've come to remind you of the love you've already received.
Remind.
Yeah, because that's what a benediction is. It's a reminder of the love that we've already received. See, we've already received it, but we're telling ourselves we haven't. And because we believe we haven't, we don't see it. And so we think it's not there. You know, it's like me loving my child, for instance. My child doesn't think I love them. Love him. That doesn't mean I don't love him. But it means he thinks I don't. So just because you don't think you love don't mean you're not loved. But the problem is when you don't think you're loved, you're going to project it out. And it's going to look like people not treating you the way you want to be treated. Or you'll seek out somebody who won't give you the love so that you can be right. So a person that doesn't love themselves would never be attracted to somebody who really cared about them. This don't work. It don't work that way. All right. Last paragraph. If you might actually pull it off.
What did you just say?
Right. If you don't love yourself, you're not gonna be turned on by a person that's opposite to how you think about yourself. So your sexual, physical, emotional attractions tell you a lot about what you believe about yourself. The person that you're attracted to the most is the person that represents the most what you think about yourself. So if you find yourself being attracted to someone who seems to have a healthy self-image or pretty much a loving, peaceful person, then you can pretty much assume that you become really aware of that in yourself and you're beginning to value it. If you think you're this great, great person, but you're always attracted to the scum of the earth. There's nothing wrong with being scum. Sometimes scum is cool. I've been personally, I like my scum self. At some point in your spiritual path, you have to love your shadow. You have to enfold your shadow. Stop condemning your shadow. That's just a part of you that's ignorant and afraid and don't know. That's all. But you can tell a lot about where you really are by who you're attracted to. It's really that simple. I've seen people who can talk metaphysics, talk spirituality, talk the most incredible stuff you could ever imagine, and they always fall for people who are totally unconscious. Who just have no interest, think you're crazy, and everything. Then you have to go, why am I so attracted to the part of myself that's not about any of this? And it's not a put down of them, it's just, you just have to ask yourself, okay, maybe I need to increase my love for myself. That's all. It don't mean I get to get on their case. I just need to increase, because we know what? Either you're loving yourself more is going to transform them too, or you're going to have the drop away. And all the drop away does is create a vacuum. Universe abhors the vacuum. So what happens? Somebody else who's more compatible with you rushes in to fill that space. So in most cases, when people are in relationships that are not satisfying, they're merely keeping the space occupied where the perfect relationship, which starts with themselves, can manifest. So you have to ask yourself, are you doing that? Are you keeping the space filled? That was pretty quiet. So much as a face filler for him, boy. You notice how quiet it was. And that's not the person you attracted to. That really lets you know where you're coming from. People just get so depressed when I say that. I thought I had my act together. Now I know. I said, but you just don't know. He kiss so good. But he's crazy. But the things he can do with his tongue, it's just, I'm overlooking. I just want to pay attention to it. You know, I have actually put the body before consciousness. Sometimes I admit, I put a piece before peace. But the thing is, you can't continue to do it as you continue to love yourself. It's so weird. It's like a side effect of loving yourself is that you just won't mistreat yourself like you used to. And after a while, your peace really does become more important than anything. And then you start having it all. Because you attract a person to you that also wants peace, but you also totally enjoy each other on the physical and emotional level. You know, you don't really sacrifice when you practice the truth. You just leave the drama out when you practice the truth. People think you're going to, you know, come out of, you're going to lose something. You don't lose. You gain everything. You can have it all. You know? You can have somebody you like the way they kiss, and they're not crazy. You know? These things can happen. They can happen. Alright, so here's the last part. Not once do the advanced teachers of God consider the forms of sickness in which the person believes. Okay? The key word is advanced. The once you become advanced, you don't really care what the person is upset about. You don't really care what form the illness is. You don't really care. All you do,
it could be having trouble paying the gas bill or cancer.
It doesn't. You wouldn't consider the form, because if you do that, you forget that all of them have the same purpose, and so they're not different. Then the purpose is to make them forget who they really are, to make them forget their peace, to make them forget. Because when you're upset about anything, you've lost sight of your peace. So the purpose of any kind of upset is the same purpose. It doesn't matter what the upset is. Even though some seem more extreme than others, the result is the same. You know, if you somebody steal your parking space, you have a lack of peace. Somebody tell you that you got a real bad disease, you have a lack of peace. So the end result is the same. In both cases, you're not in peace. So he says, so when you're conscious, you realize you stop focusing on the form of the upset, and you just try to remember, oh, this is another trick to make this person forget that they're spirit, that they're loved, that they're a child of God, that they're powerful. That's what you do. And then the Course says, therefore they're not different. So you said, so what you do is you seek for God's voice in this person who would so deceive themselves as to believe that a child of God can suffer. Because that's what you're doing. I've deceived myself into thinking that as a child of God I can suffer. And he says, and you remind them, in your mind, you remind them what? That they didn't make themselves. And so they remain as God created them. So you recognize their illusion about themselves can have no effect. And so you let the truth in your mind reach out to the truth in their mind so that the sickness or the unhappiness or the illusion is not reinforced. Because then remember, this is what you do. With anybody in your life, no matter how unconscious they appear to be, always remember you're only seeing half of the picture. That everybody, except this moment forward, that everybody knows the truth, everybody has the truth, everybody has the same mind, everybody has a part of them that is love. They may have forgotten about it. You may have forgotten about it. They may not be expressing it. You may not be seeing it, but you've got to accept that there is a truth in their mind so that the truth in your mind can touch the truth in their mind. So one of the best ways to solve separation issues is to have a communication with the person mind to mind, but you're not actually talking to them at all physically. You just go, you know, I'm going to let the truth in my mind reach out to the truth, because I know there's a part of you that wants peace just like I do. I know there's a part of you that wants happiness just like I do. I know there's a part of you that wants to have a fulfillment just like I do. You know, just assume that everybody wants what you want in their own way. And you let the truth in your mind reach out to the truth in their mind. He says, what happens? He says, then your illusion is not reinforced. Why? Because you may not think that you are valuable, but if I don't agree with you, I'm not reinforcing that idea. You may think you're weak and sick, but if I see you as light and joy, peace and powerful, I'm not reinforcing your idea. But I don't have to say it to you, because if I say it to you and you're really into it, you're going to go deeper into it just to try to make me wrong. It's like, oh, you are really healed and whole. You know, it's like a friend of mine lost her son in an accident. And she was saying, at one point, it got to the point that she held it really well at first, and now a lot of the stuff is coming up later. And she was saying, if one more person tell me how strong I am, I'm going to scream. You know what I'm saying? They think they're doing good. Oh, you really, it's like, because that, in a way, blocks her from grieving. Because, you know, now I got to, you know, I might be really, I'm feeling hurt behind this sense of loss. But when you say I'm strong and you tell me I'm strong, then I almost feel like I'm betraying myself if I show any of my real feelings. So what does it do? So when they say that, it actually makes her feel worse. You know, I used to try to ask people, what can I do to support them? I kind of try to let them determine what they need rather than me assuming I know they need to hear this, that, or the other. You know what I'm saying? So remember that when you don't go into agreement with the person, you're not reinforcing what they believe. But you don't have to tell them you disagree with them. You just don't agree with them. See, this is too easy. This is too easy. He says the illusions are not reinforced. The illusions are thus what brought to truth. Truth is not brought to the illusion. So are the illusions, which is the fear, what? Dispelled. Not by the will of another, but by the union of the one will with itself. If I join will with you, you want happiness, I want you to have happiness. That's God's will. We have now one will. He says this is our function, to do what? To see no will is separate from our own, and so we're not seeing ours as separate from God. So my function is to realize that my mind is joined with everybody's mind in this room, and then to go to the next level and go, every man in this room wants love. And that I'm not going to think anything or support anything other than that about you in my mind. I'm going to be around you listening to what you're saying, but I'm going to stand for the alternative that you could choose for love instead of fear. But I'm going to do it again in my mind. Now, does that mean that there won't be some people that you are communicating verbally with? Of course there could be some people you could communicate it verbally with, but if you're following guidance, then if you do that, it will result in peace. Or you would feel peace, even if they didn't. In other words, if you would say what you needed to say, but you feel innocent about whatever the reaction would be. It's not necessary. Don't think that every time you tell somebody the truth, they're going to like it. You know what I mean? So that's like an unrealistic premise. But when you're coming from your heart, what's really in your soul, what you really feel in your gut is right, then however they react, you'll be okay with it. That's how you can tell when you're coming from your heart. If you're coming from your heart, they may not like it, but you will in your heart feel like that was what you were supposed to say in that moment, so you won't condemn yourself. Okay? So that's the way you deal with the people around you who think differently from you. Now, you don't have to do this, but if you really think about it, can't you see how much opposition you would alleviate? And how much you would, because you would empower yourself, because you're the one thinking all of that. So it would be affecting your consciousness, and your mind would be transforming, and you would attract more peace in your life. That's the beauty. Each one of you give me an opportunity to transform my mind every class. No matter who comes or goes to my classes, I always have perfect attendance. And I, you know, and so I get the lesson every time. Can you imagine how many times I've heard what I'm saying to you? And I'm getting the result. I am 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 getting the result. I promise you, I am getting the result. So I'm going to stop here, do the love offering, and then we're going to get ready to go back out into the lab. I got one more little thing I'm going to say before we go back out into the lab. My classes, as far as I'm concerned, they're all about remembering, making sure that we come together and we don't forget, because if we don't forget, then we'll manifest the new thought systems. So when we come together, we save each other so much time. You don't have any idea how many things are not going to happen to you because of the time we spent together today. And feel safe about feeling all your feelings. Being spiritual doesn't mean that you're smiling all the time. It means you're being authentic. It means you're being honest with yourself about who you are and how you feel in the moment. Because how you feel in the moment doesn't affect you as God created you. And that's what I'm here to remind you of, that you're still loved and you're still lovable regardless of what you think about yourself. If you make errors, the errors are for correction, and you can be lovingly corrected. Classes at 7 p.m. Thursday, 1 o'clock on Sunday, and of course noon Wednesday. All right, so we got about 3 minutes. Any questions or ahas about anything that we heard today before we go? Who would share me one thing that they heard today that they want to remember?
She feels
no upset. Oh, grasshopper. So wild. So what? Yeah, it's amazing how much more peace in my life got when I started doing it. Yeah.
I do a quick announcement too.
Okay.
Unity on the Avenue is having a cabaret on Saturday night.
Mm.
And they've got 3 different sets of musicians and food and fun. And so if anybody's interested.
And what's the location?
It's at the community center at the Breakers.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have a thought they want to remember?
Well, yesterday... Oh, go ahead.
That's true.
Every person already has the truth of God in their heart. So they remember that, and all they have to do is remember.
Yeah.
That they already have.
Yeah. We want to approach people as if they already have it, even if they've forgotten it. And that's powerful.
And then talking to the mind, to their mind.
Yeah, mind-to-mind communication. Yeah,
that's...
Uh huh. But doesn't that kind of explain why higher? You know, there are higher beings. Have you noticed that they're silent?
Cats.
Yeah, but think about it. You know, they say we're not the top of the totem pole, and there are levels of consciousness that are greater. Notice that they don't intrude. They don't stop you and say, you better not do this, or you ought to say that. And that was my hint, that spirit was so silent, that maybe that's the missing link, is that I talk too much, and I should be more discerning about who I communicate and focus on joining with people in love more so than them having necessarily the same intellectual beliefs that I do. but can we join in love? Because once a person loves you, it's something about that that makes them usually automatically more open to hearing what you got to say and not ridiculing you for that, even if you don't necessarily believe it. Yeah, they don't even necessarily believe. They never would condemn you for it, though. They would just listen. Mm-hmm. And they would take out of what you're saying what they could relate to and wouldn't condemn you about the rest of it. You know, love is like that. It just makes you more tolerant. It makes you more... But if you're with someone that the relationship is based in fear, it's very difficult to express anything. You almost become afraid to say what you think. So we talk about love or fear.
My son came home from a tennis match he lost yesterday, and I went right into my coach mode because he was down on himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got up from the table. He engaged his mother. They started arguing. I got up from the table. I came back and said, "Son, how would you like Mom and Dad to behave when you come back from a tennis match that you didn't win?"
So what did he say?
And he said, "I would like you to respect that I need to vent a little, mm-hmm. and I'll ask you for advice when I want." But it was, you know how you always tell me, take a minute, I'd like another way to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Just a minute.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all the champions I coach, I mean, I got all this shit you out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got up, and I came back. And all I said was, "I'd like another way. I'd like some guidance right now." Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So when you said today, "What can I do to support you?"
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
too much.
Yeah. What do you? What can I do? You know, because then I don't have to figure it out, for one thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to cut down on all of my figuring. You know, I'm trying to cut it down to a minimum. And I find that if you give up judgment, the next thing that comes after giving up judgment is asking questions. Because if I'm judging you, I think I already know. But if I'm saying I'm not judging you, then I'm going to check in. I'm going to say, "Well, how do you feel? What do you want? What are you thinking about what I just said? What do you think?" You know, people. If I'm not judging you, I'm going to be asking questions. If you're around people that never ask you any questions, they think they pretty much know everything they need to know about you. But if they're going, "Well, how do you feel today?" And let's renegotiate this. Maybe we couldn't do it 2 weeks ago, but maybe now we could do it differently. So let's renegotiate. Just keep asking questions, and you're getting out of judgment. And people love that anyway, because it's so rare that people ask you what you think and what you feel. Most people are so busy trying to be interesting themselves that they don't stop to be interested, you know, and so people are shocked. You know, some people who think I'm the best conversationalist in the world are probably the people I say the least to. And they'll go, "Oh, yeah, I love talking to you. You really, you know, and all I'm doing is just listening," because it's so rare anybody friggin' listens. You know, so people are like shocked when you're present. You know, you're not just sitting there, you're actually there and you're present. And you can actually feed them back stuff like, "This is what I heard you say. And I heard you say blah 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 blah. Is that what you meant?" You know, they're shocked. You mean you mean you listen? Yeah, because that's how we connect. That's how we have the love. You know, so we're getting ready to go out into the lab. It's waiting for us. Unlimited opportunities to learn. They just can't wait to those lessons in love can't wait to get to us, right? But it should be easier now because we know the power of silence. All right. So I appreciate you all from the heart. Mm-hmm. And I'll see you next time. Y'all awesome. And there's some extra classes for sale up here.